the Smart City, sorry, Smart Community Strategic Plan. Used to be Smart City, didn't it? That's a smart community. Okay. Page 108. Now, let's start off. There's a lot of detail there. Let's start off. See if there are any questions. I might be the only one. One of the things I do feel strongly about is listed on page 123. Again, like the last report, lots of good work has gone into this and most of it's very sound. But I see that one of council's goals, no less, is listed as providing open data. We are to be a city that supports equitable access to diverse information sources and reliable digital technologies, empowered to inform businesses, researchers, and innovations. Now, what that means to me is giving away commercially valuable data to any entrepreneur who wants it. So, let's tell me if I'm wrong, but I really have a lot of, I'm very simple about the carpetbagger consultants who come and tell us, oh, you've got to have open data. Oh, absolutely. Oh, you know, you're not in the game if you haven't got open data. So can we get some advice on that, please?
Yes, certainly. Through the chair, thank you. Open data is generally a global standard for smart city initiatives, and the rationale behind it is that similar to the collaborative principle is that we're wiser with more minds. So understandably, there is commercial value potentially in the data that we might make available. No council has proven that anybody is willing to pay for their data globally. There is no use cases for that. We may be the first, but that's certainly not the recommendations that we get from industry and innovators. And so it would be looking at data sets that could be valuable for innovators to help us deliver a service that we may be already delivering to the community, or could be coming up with an innovative solution. And so we have the right to choose which data sets we would make available. Data SA is a South Australian standard and portal that you can provide information for, or it simply could be that we're opening up our data and providing it in a more consumable way for the community. At the moment, we provide a lot of our data in PDFs. So there's no way that an innovator or a business can then go and take that data and use it in a meaningful way. So we'll be looking at how we open up data to ensure that they can use that to inform their business delivery or help us deliver a service.
Thank you. I think that's what I said. Councillor Pryor?
I can perhaps add a little bit to that. One of the principles behind open data is that you provide the data and other people develop the apps and interface that goes around that data to then make it more accessible for your community. Now, we don't want to be in the business of designing apps for our data. That's not our core competency, as much as I'd love it to be. So if we put some of this data out there, the world's your oyster about what you're going to get, who you're going to get. Accessing that data to provide more service to our community through that. But I agree that there is perhaps some commercial sensitivity in some.
Councillor Garth, then Councillor Hall.
Your Worship, the subject we've just been discussing about inclusion comes to mind every time with smart technology. I know. There's technology that monitors, and then there's technology that you use, and there's something in between sometimes that you follow information screens or whatever it might be, for example, to determine whether there's a park available down the road at a railway station. I would hope that,
ask about the question.
I ask whether we are taking particular note of the need for inclusion of a lot of sectors of people. The aged is a very big sector when it comes to innovation of any kind, of a smart kind, let's say. not all smart technology is wise technology. It's a sentence I often use. So you go one step forward and two steps backwards with certain people. So the question is, are we ensuring that it is user-friendly across the broad spectrum of our population?
Okay, not what I meant by open data, but available for use by the community. Who would like to answer?
Yeah, Mr. Sam. Through the chair, we're adopting a persona design methodology for our smart techs, where we're stopping and looking at all the different types of segments and demographics that we have when we're designing the tech and making sure that we're accounting for each different group and their needs. So we are definitely taking that approach.
That's a yes. Okay, Councillor Hull?
I've got two questions.
Mobile telephone numbers, not today, but in 5 years' time, then if that's publicly available, the people that live around Hamilton Reserve or wherever it might be might all get a text about, you know, the local car yard.
Right. So there needs to be an ethics test on this about that movement, as you suggest, because that impacts on people. So maybe there needs to be some ethics thing that policy applied to this, so that doesn't happen.
Mr. Sammons.
Through the chair, might for us to confirm that all the data we collect with all our smart tech is anonymised, so we can't identify individual phone numbers, individual people. It's just we can
school numbers.
Yeah, what is,
okay. The other question I've got, and it's a question that I have asked before and will continue to ask, is that in the previous council term we invested a lot of money for all the elderly street lights up with the, remember what it's called, the gizmo on the right, and that had all sorts of wonderful possibilities and we can do this and that. So far nothing's really come of it. Where is this motion taking us in terms of getting the best benefit out of our investment with all those street lights?
Yeah, through the chair, we've started to put in some test sensors in some areas to start testing the data that we're getting, what the potential that could be. I suppose that's the first step to understand what we can do with that technology. So we definitely started to explore.
But this motion here, is that going to propel that?
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah.
It will.
Okay, any other questions? I think I've worked out what's happened here. The title of the report is where the error is. The actual plan is the City of Marion strategic plan, but because we're hip in the IT kind of phase, it's CON, right? And that's what the recommendation refers to. But the title of the report is Smart Community Strategic Plan. There is no such thing. So when this gets filed away, you will never find it again on our website because it'll be under something else. Just letting you know, folks.
We have control.
So the smart bit's good, it's just the writing the title of the report bit was not as smart. Sorry, that's a cheap shot. I'm sorry about that. But it is a serious point, it needs to be fixed up. Otherwise this is going to be filed in the system forever under the wrong thing.
I think you make a good point, because we have a word search problem in the organisation, but let's face it.
Okay.
But in terms of the word strategic, we've actually got a committee, a strategy committee. So I really don't think we should be hesitant to use the word strategy. We've got a whole committee to do that.
You'll notice I didn't object to the word strategy at that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, are we ready to move the motion? Councillor Schilling. Yes. Seconded Councillor Pryor. Sorry, Councillor Schilling. Councillor Pryor, correct? Done. Any other comments, Councillor?
I'd like to write the COM as City of Marion, so that we know that it's not community.
That's fine, but
it's a question. They've spent hours working out the name of the thing. It's actually, you see on page 111, it's actually called the Smart Com Strategic Plan. Mm-hmm. I think it's dreadful. Councillor Schilling, what do you think?
I'm happy to move as printed.
As printed.
Exactly what the plan says.
Right.
It's kind of here. So. All right. Any other comments, questions? Then move the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. The Wood End Path Naming Competition. Very esteemed panel ended up being unanimous in recommending a very exciting name.
It's not reserved out of your reserve.
Can I just ask members not to tell anyone, because even though it's a public meeting, because we're going to officially announce the next Saturday. Councillor Shillen to move?
Yes.
Yes, Peter. Yeah. Anything further?
Look, we discussed it. It was pretty unanimous, pretty much straight up.
Pretty good.
I did suggest another one. However, Councillor Duncan put me in my place real quickly.
What happens on the panel stays on the panel.
But
it's a real moment.
It was unanimous. I agree. Councillor Duncan agreed. Mayor Hannah agreed. So it's an easy one to pass through.
And the young woman from
Ms. George, yes.
Yeah. I just remember the names came from
Councillor Duncan.
From us. Yes.
Your second in?
Yes.
And the names can't be children, not?
Yes.
Very good. So they'll be on the premises. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So the early favourite, Lions Lane, didn't feel looking in the end. page 136. I must admit, this is not often I create extra work for the staff, but this is one where the Parliament, the Legislative Review Committee of the Parliament decided to call for submissions on the planning reforms, which is probably one way of the planning minister getting a bit of a breather and taking stock of what the community really thinks about it all. And so I suggested that we actually have a submission already written, because we've actually submitted it to the code, but it is very worthwhile putting it before the members of Parliament of different parties as well. So it's there, it's done, with not much more work. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to move this written.
Councillor Telfer? Seconded. Nothing further. Any others? Then I'll move the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Similar thing happened with CATS. Now, I acknowledge that this is another parliamentary committee, and it is looking more broadly than just CATS, but it was an opportunity to sort of express the council's view on CAT management. So that staff have basically faithfully followed what had already been prepared and went to the Legislative Review Committee, and what had been in council reports previously, to go to this parliamentary committee considering the broad issues of government CAT management. But since it was council's position that a statewide approach would be optimal, that's actually what state government's considering through this committee. So it's presented to you for your consideration.
I'll move as printed.
Move as printed, Councillor Shillen. Seconded, Councillor Clancy.
So can I just ask the letter?
It's in the post. Sorry, not, I don't mean to the committee, I mean to the council.
5 o'clock today, I was not all here, so.
We just pause to make sure everyone's got the information. So, are we ready to proceed?
Moved, seconded. Any further? Put that to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you.
Actually, it wasn't.
Beg your pardon?
Sorry, it wasn't.
Those against, please raise your hand.
Against, yes.
By majority. Two hands going up. Carried by majority. Thank you. And do speak up if I have to miss something. Thank you. Asset management plans. I thought members might have a few queries with these. There's some few interesting bits in there. Question time, first of all. Any questions about any of the material? Councillor Clancy.
There's a hierarchy of how the buildings need, their good condition, poor condition, but then the list of buildings don't have those next to them, and that's a list.
Yes, so for example, there were two buildings listed as very poor condition, and it would have been helpful, it would certainly be helpful to the public if we knew what they were. Now later, a little bit later on in the report, there is a reference to a couple of buildings. I don't want to actually name them because there's a business operating one of them, I don't want to get it wrong. So who among staff will answer questions on the building asset management, buildings and structures asset management plan? Who's going to take the hot seat? Black chair, as they say on Mastermind.
Well, now that's scary.
All right, two of you then. Very good. So that's the first question. So just to help clarify, for example, on page 249, that's not it. Page 251, overall building condition rating summary. You've got all the various ratings and two very poor condition, which means at the end of the useful life. Later on in the report, there's a list of all of the buildings, isn't there, starting on page 278, but it doesn't have the rating. So why can't we have both at the same time?
Through the chair, no reason why we can't. That's a point that we can make to the report.
Well, I think it would help the public a lot to, work out what they're looking at. And just for our current information, what are the two that are considered in, if I'm reading it, right, yeah, what are the two buildings in very poor condition?
We need to take that on notice.
What was that?
We need to take that on notice.
Okay, so I'm just, should we just bring this back next up? Okay. Yeah, look, when we hear buildings are at the end of their useful life, that's the sort of thing that elected members take some interest in. Any other questions? Councillor Telfer.
Lots of things.
On
page 270, we've got the Marion Outdoor pool redevelopment pools 21, 22, 22, 23. Where's that uncommitted program come from?
Yeah.
And are we up for replacing the pools at the Marion Outdoor Pool once we've got all the other infrastructure in place?
Yes. Through the chair, the reference there to the pools is to within that particular location, the pools themselves are now the oldest piece of infrastructure. So we've had upgrades through three stages of obviously the buildings, and it's an opportunity to look at what, if any, works may be required from the pools.
Okay.
Councillor Chalker.
Right.
I'm going to be very liberal with questions.
I'm very interested in page 254, I think it is, the survey that, stands out to me, but I haven't, it hasn't hit me before, about sport and rec. We've got a totally different response on everything else we do except sport and rec. And let me get back to it. All of our library buildings, outdoor pools and neighbourhood centres are 80%. Important, very important. And what's wrong with our sport and rec facilities? Somewhat important and not very satisfied. And what is this telling us about marketing, what we do and how we do it, and how does this fit within our asset management plan when we're spending over 20 million on sport and rec facilities at the moment, when the public obviously don't think they're as important as everything else we do?
Councillor Temple, just clarify, there is an alternative hypothesis, and that is that at the libraries and the neighbourhood centre buildings, this survey was promoted, but it wasn't promoted where people play sport. So you've got some sound bias there, potentially. But Mr. Careers, what do you think?
Yes, through the chair, that, with respect to the 2019 survey, it's difficult to comment on the motivations of those who answered and the volume of people in the community that might be representative of sport that chose not to. So picking up on the mayor's point, whether it's bias, whether it was just members of the community chose not to respond, and then obviously those that did, these just reflect the ratings of that particular cohort of our community.
Councillor Telfer, I'll let Councillor Telfer go with all her questions and then I'll go to the next person.
A question, but I had page 270. City property portfolio, tranche 1 and 2. Can you tell us about tranche 1 and tranche 2? Is that just a place-taking line? Or is there anything that's focused?
Tranches of what? Ms.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Through the chair, what it is when we were looking at some of the opportunities in the city property portfolio review, what we thought about doing was essentially really doing the initial review this year and then really looking at options to progress stages of reviewing it as well. So it was the initial strategic review and then actually acknowledging that there was opportunities to implement what that strategic review was, and we couldn't actually necessarily implement it all in one tranche, so we split it up over two tranches, which is what is reflected in this particular table.
So is tranche 1, tranche 2 a prioritisation?
Right.
So one starts earlier, the second one joins in.
That's correct.
I'll just ask about on page 276, what we will do next, the improvement plan. The whole asset management is extraordinarily important, and here's a list of all the things that are going to happen and the timelines. So I have asked already to the general manager to do the asset management. How does council really own these, or how do we own this process as such?
Apart from adopting it, Councillor Telfer, do you mean the tracking of it, or?
Yeah, how do we really come to grips with the detail or the knowledge of what's happening here?
Mr. Hughes?
Thank you for the question, and through the chair, and this, I suspect that question extends to broader than just any individual asset management plan. So it may be that other members of the team will add to this answer. a number of these, as you'll see through this particular list, and it's the same on some of the other asset management plans, are projects, for example, environmental sustainability, where we do come back and report on, as I said, environmental initiatives. My suggestion would be that if any of the plans, either in isolation or components of the plan, are things that the chamber would like to monitor, we could work with you about which of those items they are and create a structure, whether it's through forums or through a standing report for noting, to General Counsel to monitor those items that you think are most critical. We've had, I guess, discussions around priorities and KPIs and things that we would monitor, and I could see how this would fall into that construct.
Likely have a report card for the major projects. Could we have a traffic light system where we get a report? I don't know what would be appropriate. Well, 3 months is too short, maybe every 6 months? Or
through the chair, I suspect it would be a biannual or annual type report.
Annual type.
Given the type, the length of activity.
Very long term, some of them.
And particularly across all of the asset types that we're talking about as well.
Well, could we just put that in as a request that we get an annual traffic light report on all of the AMPs and it can go to the appropriate committee?
We have an asset steering committee. With a number of senior staff in the organisation, and we'll be doing this, and we'll need to make sure that we're happy and satisfied as well, and then we can report as is suggested back to council.
Wonderful. Back to the appropriate committee would be the best way to do it initially, and I'm glad to hear it won't be much extra work because management are doing it anyway.
That's fair.
Councillor Telfer.
No.
Right. And somewhere to my left, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, somewhere in the report, I was trying to find it, I read about how the community valued public lighting and graffiti. I think it was about 5 to 1 in that cardboard, to get people like. What is the administration doing to acknowledge that feedback that the community value graffiti removal, rapid graffiti removal, and also street lighting, because some streets are dark, and now with LED street lighting, it's more efficient and more affordable to provide street lighting. So that's one question I have.
All right, let's go with that. You can have as many as you want, I dare say, but street lighting, is it in this AMP or is it another one?
Street lighting is in a separate AMP. I could.
Is it coming out later tonight?
No.
All right. So we can park that question, but know that Councillor Hull has an interest in that in particular. And removal of graffiti, where does that come into? This is about building and structures. Does it come into it or not?
Correct. Through the chair, it's not necessarily a targeted part of asset management.
Right. It's the operational
asset maintenance, that's right. And we do capture those through customer events, and we do have a dedicated officer for that purpose, and we do respond to them.
Yes,
Arthur? Was that in the previous report tonight?
Through the chair, potentially it was mentioned in the score cost report. Is the one that immediately springs to mind.
No, it was conveyed anyway. Arts and heritage. I have a general question. In terms of arts and heritage versus, and Councillor Telfer touched on it earlier, as it's weighted against sport and recreation, is the administration looking at the balance and funding for the two? Because there's a large section of their community like sport and recreational things, and there's another group of people that like to paint, do glass work, other expression.
Councillor Hull, I understand the question. It's probably one for planning day or potentially budget deliberations or both, but it's the asset management plans are essentially saying this is what we've got. We're taking in terms of buildings, in terms of public art, etc. And we take the existing council decisions and therefore committed funding, and we can draw a line for maintenance because we kind of can predict that, operational, we can predict that. There will no doubt be future capital funding that drops into the plan, but the relativity between different classes of assets is not something that managers would necessarily take account of. That is purely a policy decision. You see, this is a reporting system, and you've raised a policy question, a strategic question, in fact. Perhaps Ms. McKenzie would like to note that, something that could come back to the planning day if you're happy with that, Councillor Hull. Did you have any other questions, Councillor? Councillor Prong?
Just quickly about the asset management, in particular our buildings and structures, I think. We should have with them a depreciation schedule. I've never seen a snapshot or a chart which shows where each building is on its depreciation schedule. That's something that I'd like to see at some stage. Just because of the way we fund things and the way we turn money into our long-term financial plan. I'd be interested to see some of that information fall out of a document like this. It's perhaps not at this level, but the next level down should have that information.
So first question, do we have such a thing at present?
Mr. Barwell.
Through the chair. In the absence of Mr. Barwell, I mean, typically we do have depreciation information with respect to assets. So yes, in that regard, we do. Do we have a complete depreciation schedule against all of our physical assets, and let's say buildings as a category? That's a question I need to confirm with Mr. Barwell as a collated list. The only other thing that I would add, pause, please.
We might transfer the answer to Mr. Barnwell. The question was, since we're talking about assets, Councillor Pryor's asked about depreciation, and buildings and structures is a really good example. Do we have a depreciation schedule for this, 100 or so buildings?
Yes, we have a depreciation schedule. We have a larger register for all our assets, including buildings. And we have a detailed register, which each particular asset is. We have details
to talk about. And so if Councillor Pryor was saying, even if it's just once in his lifetime, it'd be good to see each asset with an amount next to it which shows the percentage or the dollar value that's been depreciated on it. Do we have that?
Yeah, we can provide that.
Great. Well, that would be good, just to see what comes out of it. And while we're at it, Mr. Barnwell, does this exercise help with that work on reporting depreciation?
Yes, because obviously we get more up-to-date information as these asset management plans are developed. We know what the future capital requirements are, that informs our long-term financial plan. It also informs our costings and updates on our depreciation. We also do have a valuation process which happens every year, desktop valuations on infrastructure and non-infrastructure assets, and we have a full valuation every 5 years. That also informs the depreciation.
That sounds as if this might be very helpful, because if, Mr. Barnwell, you get the information from the asset management plan that a building is at the end of its useful life, that you've only depreciated at 50%, you'd want to revalue that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we adjust depreciation based on the valuations, which we carry out every year, desktop every year, and full valuation every 5 years. They actually inform the depreciation schedules for that.
Right. Does that information go into the asset management plan, or is it the other way around?
The asset management plan, the information from the plans drive what we need to allow for future capitalization, future renewal of our assets. So the asset management plan should drive what's coming into the long-term plan to ensure we have funding to renew them assets when and if they're required.
Okay, back to Councillor.
This is the point I'm trying to get to, that the asset management plan should help us to figure out what's coming up in the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years about you know, where are we, what are we in for?
Yeah.
So that sort of information into him.
So that's what I took from Mr. Barnwell's answer, that basically, yes, that is happening and this will probably help it to some extent.
Councillor Gillespie, then Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a couple of things. I believe in the 2012 to 2014, there was an assessment done of the outdoor pool, and I believe they said that the actual structure of the pools itself had, at that stage, another 20 years left because we've got a good batch of concrete. So maybe that could be something that could be used, and they need to recheck it, use that methodology. The other thing is there have been some responses to some public responses here. And I'm just wondering some of the things, whether we get back to people, do we actually tell them? In some places, people have said we should do what we're going to do. In other places, there's been some issues raised, potentially safety issues, things like that. So I'm just wondering if we actually close the loop on those, and is that something we can follow up at a later date?
Okay, the first question is about the pool in particular.
Through the chair, thank you for sharing the information. Councillor Worscott will take that on board. And we are aware of the previous assessments. The other thing is it is useful to continue to review, given that if we've had greater numbers than intended at any particular venue and the wear and tear is greater than originally envisaged, whilst there's an indicator sometimes of 10 years life, 20 years life, whatever the example might be, it's important we keep monitoring in case, whether it's weather, other interventions have meant that the useful life is actually drawn down more quickly than was anticipated at different times. So we'll pair those two efforts to ensure that the pool continues to be safe and functional.
It's an interesting thought whether more swimmers were at the pool floor more quickly. But I'll ponder that overnight. The other question was about closing the loop. Did you get that from Councillor Leskin?
Yes. So across the board, Councillor Gillescu, with a number of the comments that we do receive, yes, we do close loops with our community, and for that matter, questions that are raised by councillors. If there are any particular references, we'll absolutely look into those that you've identified through the report. But also this process tonight and the reports that we're presenting to you are to go to community consultation, and it's an opportunity for us to gauge those next stages and then close them with community through this process.
Well, yeah. Any more, Councillor Briscoe? No. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, just using Appendix 6 and the coastal walkway as an example, and a little bit of background for my question, you might recall at a forum I was very surprised to find out that there was no record when the coastal walkway was handed over by the state to the municipalities as to whatever would happen at renewal time. And I feel these things need to be carefully documented. In this case, where we are now, I ask whether it's possible to, or whether it's appropriate to actually itemise the cost sharings of any asset, particularly the coastal walkway, which is a very sensitive one. Also, and I'm overlapping a bit with Councillor Pryor here, because it occurred to me that we had a 25-year life expectancy for the coastal walkway, of which we've run 18. And that sort of asset in particular should be monitored as to what its life expectancy is. I think another subject is the depreciation, but as you were saying earlier, the two do relate and there can be discrepancies and therefore the need for adjustment.
Councillor Gard, that was really just a sort of reminder to staff to keep an eye on the life expectancy. But the question about cost sharing, from what I can see, that doesn't come into the equation here as we're looking at what assets we have, costs of running, costs of replacing, depreciation, but where the money came from to buy it doesn't really come into it. Any comment on that?
Yeah, thank you for your question, Councillor Garvin, through the Chair. With respect to these plans, no. But I think it is important to reiterate for the Chamber, and I'll use BMX as the example where we've had multiple capital investment, but certainly what we are doing now is formalising in our lease agreements, licence agreements, shared use agreements, one of their contributions to maintenance, in that case 50-50 with the City of Onkaparinga, and that acknowledges that the state contribution is just a capital contribution. That's the same case with this coastal walkway, to go to that particular example, that through the documentation we're currently negotiating with the state, it'll be very clear, and in that case, that it's a capital contribution where the maintenance responsibilities will lie. So those things will be documented. It's a process we are taking for all assets moving forward.
And to follow up, I'll come back to Councillor Gard, but just to follow up, I noticed that there's something that we now refer to in the documents as a single point of truth data set. We never used to have that. So is this up and working? Is this a real thing?
Thank you for your question there. Yes, these are documents that are now in train to be in transition to. So we do have some scenarios where we've got multiple sources of truth. And this first cut of AMPs has been fantastic to now turn it into a single source of truth. So in the case of the AMPs, we're correcting that approach, and that's something that we're also extending to other parts of our operation where we've had spreadsheets, different GIS documentation, and all of those are also being transitioned through our digital transformation work into single source of truth as well.
I just thought that might help with Councillor Gard's question about the key relevant information all being in the one place.
This is now our source of truth.
Okay. Now, Councillor Gard, did you want to continue, please?
Coming back to the coastal walkway, Your Worship, I think for perspective in this particular subject, which is very emotive amongst the general population and the media, it would be great if we could somehow patch in what the life expectancy was of the walkway and where it is now, and interrelate the erosion mishap that has occurred with that, so that there is a perspective about, look, this isn't something that has just hit us out of the blue. The walkway was aging, and we've merely had to bring forward renewal.
Did you wish to bring that point of question? No?
Oh, sorry.
Did you wish to bring that commentary to the point of a question?
Well, yeah, in the sense, can we not include that perspective in the asset management plan for the walkway, just to at least get documented lifespan and where the walkway was at this point? I think it gives a better perspective to a lot of interested parties.
Mr. Ruiz, can you help with that?
Through the Chair, we can take that feedback on. I think perhaps in the communication and information that we put when we transmit the plan itself to the community, there's perhaps some background and context that we can include within that, so that when they then go into the technical document and read, they understand a little bit more of the broader context.
Yep.
Right. Thank you. Councillor Hull.
I found the perception I was referring to, the page 3 and 4.
We're dealing with all of the asset management plans at once, but yes, go on.
Lying in streets and reserves, the view was an 81% very satisfactory. But this is a data collection, obviously, come from the 2009 satisfaction survey. And I think if we're actually going to collect this sort of data, we need to actually focus on it. And all of these things in here, irrigation reserves is another big issue in our community.
So how would you, I can see there was an opportunity, say, when we adopted the open space plan. Have we done that yet? Did we do that recently?
Yes.
We did. There was an opportunity there to say we want extra lighting in every reserve or certain reserves or certain level of reserve. But in terms of the asset management plan, Councillor, tonight, are you making a suggestion or?
Look, it says in streets and reserves, not just reserves, so the open space strategy, you know, pick up half of that. But I'm just saying that we should, you know, it gets back to our meeting with the audit committee recently and focusing strategically. We've got some good data here, and you know, we don't have to look far to realise where our priority should be. So, you know, not only in this report, but also in our thinking about budgets going forward, we should be picking up on the threads of what's important to our community.
Okay, so these plans, all of them, in a sense, they are looking at the past and the present. To an extent, they're looking into the future, but only about things that have already been decided. Again, what you're talking about, Councillor, is policy decisions or where we're going to allocate resources in the future. One, different lighting levels in the streets or reserves. That's something that you have to bring up in the budget process. There should be time on planning day to discuss these general issues. They're not bad issues, but it probably doesn't come into these plans tonight.
Well, can I ask that page 314 ends up on the agenda item for the planning day?
Yeah, probably if we look at the whole community satisfaction survey, just to broaden it out even more.
There's a lot of effort going into that.
Yeah, that's some good data. Councillor Price.
I think that we're at a stage where we can move this one, because it is to go to...
Do you not wish to hear the Mayor's questions?
I would love to hear the Mayor's questions, if they're shorter than a couple of minutes, and...
If you're going to move all of the plans at once, I do feel it's important. It'll remove any destructive urges I have afterwards. Page 260. Is a reference back to that April 2015 meeting, right? Says April 2014. We decided that in about my sixth month on council as to what major projects should be our focus. So 2015, not 2014. That's indisputable. What I struggle to remember, but I'm pretty confident, is that on that list, there was a top four, but on about the fifth was a stadium. It came out of a basketball discussion, but I know Councillor Crossland and others focused on stadium a little bit more generally. But now that's removed from that list. So before this goes out, really that should be clarified. At the very least, the year should be corrected. Before it goes out, I think Councillor Telfer's point about allocating condition next to each item should be included. So if staff can work on appropriate wording for that, that saves time. The other thing, if I look at page 273, for example, should it be of any concern that we have, you know, a funding strategy graph, because it only focuses on present council decisions, it looks like we're spending $12-16 million a year and then $2 million a year after that. But we actually know that's not what is going to happen. Why do we not put a projection of, you know, $14 million on average, probably, because of all the future projects that we imagine we're going to have? Or do we just wait for them to happen?
The depreciation should inform that. Like, it should tell us what we're going to do.
Well, that's right. If you want to be scientific, you could actually plot that. Yeah. Although there's still going to be new initiatives.
Yeah, there will be. But I mean, you have something in there as like this is a baseline renewal of assets.
That's right. So let's. I'm not saying the consultation draft needs to be changed, but I think it's a question for management, including the finance team, to say, why don't we fill out on my little graph here? I've done a line that goes across about, you know, the 14 million mark. But in theory, you should be able to plot that with a bit more accuracy why don't we do that? It's a fair question. Okay, page 202. Overall assessments. Marion Ogle is in the low rating. Then there's a note at the bottom of the page. Marion Ogle refers to basketball stadium. So why not put basketball stadium instead of Marion Ogle? It's just confusing.
Through the chair. So your page reference.
Page 292. Sorry, I said the wrong thing. Oops. On the left-hand side, you've got Marion Ogle. It's in a poor condition. Marion Ogle's in a poor condition. But then later on down the bottom of the page, Marion Ogle means basketball stadium. So why don't you just put basketball stadium?
Bridget, we will look at that cross-referencing and then clarify.
Well, remember, this is going out for public consultation. And you'll find the same, similar sort of thing over the page, page 293. There's a reference, Heron Way Reserve, average remaining life and renewal cost. And then down the bottom in the fine print, oh, Heron Way Reserve refers to Berkshire Cafe. So again, why not say it? Why not actually have the item directly printed there? I just don't understand the logic. Surely the geographical sighting of the building is not the key thing. It's what people commonly call it, if it's to be a useful document. Because members are going to, I'm just going to go on to another asset management plan, because I think we're going to move them all at once. I did notice, I just want to check something on page 335, open space assets, where we have got an even sort of figure mapped out across the next 10 years, but zero for creation. Is that right that we actually, in our playground plan, we actually have zero new playgrounds planned? That might be right. There might be all replacements. But I thought there were a couple down south that were actually going to be new ones.
Page 339.
339, there is creation.
The small creation, it doesn't show on the chart.
It's so small it's not on the chart. Wow, okay. I guess that's how creation began. sorry, it's that I'm still thinking of the Snooker Reserve. Just another one then, Coonamini. This is really detailed, but page 425 is a reference to Kernabinna Gully in the personal walkway stuff. Now, it talks about the big structural change that's happening, but, and Councillor Gard can back me up on this, we had a chat with local residents association chief at the coastal walkway briefing about an area of the path that's actually slippery at the moment. He's raised it several times with council, but nothing's been addressed. So, I mean, what are we doing with complaints like that? They're not coming into this plan, it seems.
Through the chair, with respect to the council walkway plan, I do take the point of the question. The asset management plan should pick up not only sort of the general maintenance, but issues that are identified for us. Typically, if they arise through my sort of community raising an issue, we will take that on within our teams and actually go on and address them. It won't have necessarily meant that every little particular item that comes might have made their way, for example, as customer events into the asset plans as just individual identifiable tasks to undertake. So generally this refers to maintain, ensure that the assets remain usable, and that's activity that we'll be picking up through customer event or reference, but we don't necessarily, I think this would be the case for all of the plans, that have captured all of the customer events and specifically listed them within the asset management plans themselves.
Final question about the public art stuff. and it references page 446. We find that we've got 273 paintings or whatever stashed away somewhere, although there's a few up on the walls. Not the ones for sale, no. The ones out in the foyer. Page 454 shows a steadily increasing number of public art commissions, and that's referred to on page 461, where you see creation, by which I presume you mean acquisition, over a period of years. Now, I guess, like Councillor Hull asking questions about policy, maybe it's time that we had a half-hour session at a forum, Ms. McKenzie, tonight, to talk about public art acquisition. Some might want more. Some might be concerned that we have over 200 paintings just stored in a compactor somewhere.
I think there's a distinction between paintings you refer to, which worries me that they do track well on them, and public art that's out in the public realm where people actually live it and feel and breathe it. So, there's a big difference.
Well, I accept that. But this very asset register raises that question.
No, I'm very concerned. It's on page 455 of what I've got. This forward program, external resources only. Before we've worked out our value systems about what we want and how much we want, we're putting out to the public, we're going to spend $25,000 a year on public art and $4,000 a year on acquisition. So I'm not comfortable about us signing off out to the public on that before we've had a value discussion.
Shall we leave the public the art one until after we've had a forum discussion?
Refer it to the forum, please.
And this is why I did say to one of the managers that we needed a long period to look at this in general council, because there are a lot of little details, including apparently public commitment of council to funding things which we've never been asked about ever. So that would be a really good discussion.
That cross-referencing again, we've already voted on the open space strategy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the public art strategy.
The guidelines.
Guidelines, yes. Now,
that's a process thing, not an amount thing. Yeah.
We can be creative with public art, but you know, we embedded in that is about entry statements for suburbs. That can be public art. You know, like we can.
Thank you, Councillor. That's a very sort of discussion that would be really good to have at all. So let's we've got that locked in. Ms. McKenzie's been very helpful in coming up with a draft motion. Feedback provided at the meeting, so we're just kind of leaving that for management to incorporate where it's been stressed that there actually needs to be an amendment. Is that right?
Are you okay with that? It's not specific, there was a lot.
Are management happy with that?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Oh, yeah. In chorus of approval. So I direct that standing orders be resumed and Councillor Schilling moves as printed.
I have another burning question about that one. You take it from us. The Calico walkway, that's been controversial in terms of source of materials and the circular economy. But you know,
sorry, I'm going to rule the question out of order. Irrelevant. Take it up with managers in between meetings, please. It's been moved. Councillor Schilling, no further discussion there. Councillor Price seconded. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. That does jump us through the agenda somewhat. I think are we up to put the reports for noting?
Yeah.
They could be moved on block, Councillor.
Next three on block. So
hand with four fingers, I get it.
Table 1 and 3 are indicating what we received on the work health and safety page 469.
We can move it and correct it.
Yeah, so what we've done.
Councillor,
sorry, through the chair, we've just added into the minutes acknowledging that the dates are incorrect. So we're just sharing the screen.
on page 469 of the agenda, and these will be fixed for future reporting.
So Councillor Tilke is happy with that. Are you seconding the moving on block, Councillor Tilke?
Yeah.
Seconded. Any questions on any of the reports?
I had a question.
Sorry, Councillor Gard?
Yes. Got to just find it. Finance report. Excuse me a moment.
Just a quick question. I'll
change on. Sorry, Councillor Gard, it's a bit irregular. We'll come back to Councillor Pryor for a question.
On page 499, sporting facilities and sports courts. I think there should be a value there. I'm just saying, just back out actually for Hamilton Park Sports Court, which is going to be surfaced as soon as the weather's warm enough to do that job. But there's nothing, as far as I can see, in there.
Page
499. So there's nothing in the budget until sort of December or 75k. But why would it be too hot to do the sports court? So yes. Hamilton Park Sports Court. When does that get done? It's not in the graph about sporting facilities and courts.
Yeah. Yeah. So the chair has been finished with the nuclear service.
Yes, so the group service is done.
No, it needs to be done. It'll be done. So where is it in the budget?
Sorry, through chair, I haven't seen it.
It's fine. That's my question.
So we take that as a question on notice that the resurfacing of the Hamilton Park Reserve Court doesn't really seem to appear in the graph on page 499. Please explain. Question on notice. Now, Councillor Gard, how are you going with that question?
Yep, I've tracked myself down, Your Worship. Page 485, just the funding statement. There was a large variance percentage-wise for contractual services, and I was just wondering what the story was there. There was a variance of getting to probably about 40%. Could that be explained?
Page 485, yeah. Consultancies, variation of 40%.
Contractual services.
Sorry, contractual services. Didn't
hear, it was a favourable variance. But
contractual services, so under operating expenses?
Consent, there should be in the variation
statement. Yes.
Is it in the variation statement? Next page. Page 487. Well, it's got contractors, but it doesn't say contractual services.
Contractors. The biggest variance there relates to the timing of invoicing, really, as it's for the waste services, which we would have got invoiced late in July, which we'll be paying in August. It's a timing variation, probably. So those three things. So it's contractors and contractors. Obviously, the waste services is contracted
out. Right, I think.
So nothing so much to it.
Very timing matter. We haven't put the invoicing in today. So.
Very well. And just helpful if the same term for the same thing is used within a report to remove ambiguity. If there are no more questions, all those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. And all we need to do is note the questions with notice.
Is it okay to ask a question?
Yes. In relation to the question on notice?
Yeah,
I think that's in order.
That is a question.
Yes, Councillor Hull.
Am I reading it right to see that there's a considerable number of dog owners that are easily now not viewed by the council registering the dog? Over 1,000 or something.
So over 1,000 dogs not registered, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, but it hasn't been pursued. They've probably got off, and I have not read it as well, but it looks like they've got off stock. And nobody's followed that.
Mr. Delacombs, he's watching with interest. We're starting to sell people's houses, surely we can get them to pay their dog registration.
Thank you for the question, through the chair. How that brings is the cascading this down from the top. So we've started with 3,500 registered by the due date. After the first notice, we're down to 1,693 dogs remaining unregistered. There is then again another follow-up process. And of that, there are those who their dog has died or is legitimately does not need to be registered, they've moved house. And of those dogs that remained unregistered, 103 expiations were issued. So if we take that, really, that it's not 1,693 that are left unregistered at the end of the day, that is just the middle of the pack of where we're at in terms of our process and follow up.
So you have been handling them, in other words. That's reassuring, Councillor
Hart. How many dog owners go away scot free without paying? There's 103 property next to the ocean. They're the unlucky ones, I guess, but what about the others? Like, considerable number that weren't followed up.
Through the chair, the rest are either registered or do not need to be registered.
Oh, right. So they actually came good in the end.
That's how the it balances. All right. I think that is the end of our business. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.
Thank you.